It's on, isn't it? I'm going to be just as honest as I can. If you've ever prayed for this, oh boy, I need it this morning. In both ways, the Lord bless the message, but I am not well bodily. I have come down with something in my left leg that has been giving me trouble since about middle of last week, I guess. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to come, so I'm here. Felt like He gave me a little message, and had this on my heart for, probably 2 or 3 weeks now. 2 weeks anyway, I guess. And so good morning to each one of you. We're glad you're here, and we need your prayers. First time I ever come down this area, as far as ministry, was in 1978. I was fixing to have a tent meeting out on the west side of Hammond, west side of, I can't say the name of the town, Brother Wascom's property out there. Been set up for a meeting, and Brother Bob Forbes invited me down here. I wasn't really asked to come to preach as much as I was connected to some that the saints were trying to reach out to. And the meeting was a fabulous, fabulous tent meeting. Thank the Lord. Brother Curtis, Brother Sammons were both there. They done all the preaching, altar work. And it did open the door and got things going. And then I come down the Hammond Assembly meeting that same fall. And I've been privileged to be in a lot of meetings in my life. But folks, that was the most powerful conviction meeting I've ever been in my life. Brother Tommy Milo was the only evangelist here at that time. And he would get up and preach maybe 15, 20 minutes and the altars would just fill. He'd get up the second night to try to finish what he started the night before and it happened again. And that's the way it went. Meeting, service after service after service. Mainly at night, but it was powerful. Several years later, there was a meeting here, if I remember right, and I got word that it was a very good meeting. So I called Brother Tommy. I said, "Was you there?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "How good was it?" He said, "Well, let me put it this way. It wasn't as good as 78. So he himself recognized highly that I myself wasn't exaggerating when I said how powerful it was. I may have been in a lot of Monarch meetings, but I don't know that even they and their powerless deal was as powerful as that one in Hammond, 1978. So this morning, we want to talk on a subject that this is going to take. In other words, you're going to have to take this and use it, have it, do it, if you're going to make heaven your home. It's something that makes the whole world run. And if we don't do it, and if we start down this, we can end up being lost, but we can end up losing. There has been people that was doing fine, but they hit some hard spots, and they started losing this particular subject. And when they did, they maybe lost their whole business, their marriage, or whatever. How is your courage?
Yes.
Is it important this morning?
Oh, yeah.
The quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression of spirits. It's bravery, valor, boldness, firmness, fearlessness, and fortitude. That's the definition of courage. Let's start in Deuteronomy 31:23, please. And again, I highly beg your prayers this morning.
Lord bless.
If I'd get in the right book, it would redrag. It always has through the years, and I'm in the wrong book. And it's not reading right. And I look and I see why. All right, 31:23. Moses therefore wrote this psalm the same day and taught it the children of Israel. He gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and he said, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I'll be with thee." So here Moses, he's going to be stepping off the scene, and the next man that's going to move into his place, evidently, here is Joshua. And he said, "I'm giving you a charge, son," so to speak. "I want you to be strong and of a good courage. Be strong now, for thou shalt bring." Now you think about it. You think about it. How would you like to be fixing to lead, guide, work with a number of people? And you're going to lead them, guide them, you're going to be over them. Now if a man becomes a president, whether it be a small country or whatever, or all the way to the size of the United States, it would be a scary thing. You're taking a lot of life, so to speak, into your hands. And so he's telling him now, "Joshua, I don't want you to get down the road and fail on me. I don't want you to slip and fall. I want you to be strong. I want you to be of good courage. I want you to stand strong and tall. You need to be something where people can look at you and say, 'Hey, he's doing it and I can do it.'" Listen, saints, we need to stand strong so that people can look at us and say, "He done it, she done it, I can do it." Because folks, courage will spread. Courage will be a booster to other people. So consequently, we're going to have to do this and do it more than one time. One minister, and I was talking to you a while back, he said, "Brother Carl, it does the saints good to see us old gray heads sitting around in a meeting because they've been here, been around a while." I started my first message on October 26th of 1975. And so I've been preaching over 50 years, been saved over 54 years. And I ain't nothing, but the bottom line, one time I was in Pacoma, California, and Brother Aaron Brown, he was sitting over there, and he got an angle to me, and he looked over there, and he saw me, and he said, "Folks," he said, "I'm encouraged this morning." He said, "Over there sits Brother Carl Schaefer. He come and preached to me in my home years and years ago, and he's still going." It means something to keep going, folks. It means something to hold the banner up. It means something to pray, "Praise God, I'm still standing right where I did 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 30 years ago. I'm still the same person I've been all these years." And the saints look at that. And they say, "If he and she, if they can do it, I can do it." Praise God. Let's do it together, folks. Let's stand courageous. Now be strong. He said, "Be strong and of a good courage." Why would you have to be of a good courage? Because if you got good courage, it's not hard to keep you encouraged. You keep moving, you keep pressing, you keep working. So this morning he said, "Be strong and of good courage now, Joshua, for thou shalt bring." Now this is a scary thought, like I said, but the bottom line, you're going to bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I'm going to be with thee. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy. Well, let's go back to the first verse, 31:1. "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them," "I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out, come in. Also the Lord has said to me, 'Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, but thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did Sion and Og, kings of Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, and you may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have charged you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, we need to remember that scripture specifically right there. Moses said unto Joshua, and unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. To give them, and they, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that goeth, that doth go before thee. He'll be with thee, he'll not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. Now, this is kind of backing up a little bit more open than what I read the first scripture. But here's the thing, folks. He says here, in the 5th, 6th verse, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee.
Yes.
He's not going to fail thee. He's not going to forsake thee.
That's right.
Now, that right there should be enough to boost any lack of courage that we have. Mm-hmm. We've got somebody with us. We've got somebody standing.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, the devil will come along and say, you can't do it. The devil will come along. Well, I preached it out. I was glad to hear that last night. And thankful today that the Lord is right there to say you can do it.
Yes.
How many times has he said, keep going? How many times has he said, come on, child. Come on, child, you can do it. Listen, children, they get to walking, and sometimes they have to have a little assistance, but after a while they get stronger and better and stronger and better until all of a sudden they're off and running. You don't have to do very much for them then. Well, that's the way we are. When we get saved, we're going to have a period of growing and getting, but at a point, we're going to get up and run, so to speak. And that point there, the Lord wants us to start staying real steady as we can.
Amen.
I remember 1978, I guess it was. I had hopes of getting a certain young lady to marry, and she broke my heart about the first of the year of 79, I guess it was. And I'll have to admit, I was pretty hurt. But there was some there in the congregation, they saw what was happening. And so they started moving to back me up. One wrote me a 6-page letter, Sister Marie Miles. She had been through some things, and she said, this is what I did. I done this, this, and this. Another said, Carl, I'm behind you, I'm backing you up. Another said this, another said that. The pastor was right there. They were there to help me, but it didn't falter. I never thought that I would go down. The bottom line is I just cried a lot sometimes at night because I wasn't going to get what I thought I was going to get. But the bottom line is we've still, when we're crying and bawling, we've still got to keep the same courage and keep moving forward. And keep holding on. Say, I'm going on.
That's right.
I'm going on. Now, he said the Lord. God visited me during that time many times. One time, he gave me a song in the night. Give me scriptures, maybe, and different things. Like I said, Sister Marie sent me that letter. I read that. Probably read it several times. And was encouraged by that. Saints, if we see somebody that is going through a hard spot, you can step in and encourage them. You can let them know, I've done it, you can do it. Let them know God is right with you. He's not departed from you. He's not forsaking you. He's standing strong with you. He'll lead you, guide you, and direct you. He will take care of you all the way through. All you got to do is stay firm. So let's do that to one another sometimes. That we can, you know, give an encouraging word, give an encouraging note, give an encouraging track, or whatever it might be, that will maybe encourage that person a little bit more. All right, let's go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1 and 1 and 1. Joshua 1 and 1. Joshua Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of Lebanon, even unto the great river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide. Shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. Very courageous. Now here he's letting him know this more than one time. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, the Lord spake. Now, first it's Moses. Now then, Moses, I believe, is stepping off the scene. And the Lord's stepping on the scene, and he's letting him know. He's letting him know, my servant is dead. Arise and go over Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I have said to Moses. Said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now then, well, he goes on down in here. He said, be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now, this is going to help us, folks, if we stay with the Bible. Because if we stay with the Bible, the Lord's going to back us up all the way. And there'll be times that maybe everything looks dark and so forth, but because of who we are and where we're standing, the Lord's right there with us. He's right there with us, backing us up. He's right there with us, encouraging us. And I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake thee. Have you ever wondered where the Lord was sometimes? Maybe you'd prayed, and maybe you prayed again, and you didn't seem to get any answers. You didn't seem to get any leadings. The pain was still there. The sickness was still there. Listen, folks, the devil likes to work with days and weeks. In other words, if it looked like the Lord's not going to heal you, or the Lord doesn't look like the Lord's doing this or doing that, the devil's right there pointing that out. He's right there doing all he can do to discourage you. But the Lord said, I will not fail thee and I'll not forsake thee. Sometimes the Lord wants us to go through a time of new, what I want to call it, new learning. And as we go through that, and as we get more, the Lord wants to help us to grow and to be greater in Him than we've ever been. So be strong and of good courage. So I'm going to be with you. Nobody's going to be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses. I'm going to be with thee. I'm not fear thee or so forth. And he said there, but be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest deserve to do all the law. Lord, help us to stand flat-footed with the whole book of the Bible. Not a little of it, not part of it, but all of it. That this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. Not only we're going to have it, we're going to talk about it. We're going to let people know this is the word of God. There's sometimes people will challenge you. Let them say all they want, then come back with a good scripture. Let them say what they want, but just stand flat-footed and said, I'm not going in any place. I've had people that have left this body and have done their things, and they've contacted me. One time, one couple come in and sat with Rebecca and I till about 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get me to leave. I'm not going anywhere. I've seen people be with us. I've seen people leave with us and never come back. And some have come back. But they want to do that. But I just stood flat-footed. I wasn't going nowhere. I'm just doing exactly what I've done for the last, whatever it was, 20 years, 30 years. I said, I'm going to stand right here. Well, you need to, no, I'm standing right here. You need to, no, I'm standing right here. When they see, and the devil sees, that you mean what you say, then they'll back off. They'll back off, and the Lord will come in and bless you. And he'll encourage you, and he'll inspire you. So this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. Meditate therein, day and night. This is what's going to be a solidifier, a deepener, an encourager, and a strengthener in everything we do. And he said, now have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Now there must have been a reason the Lord was doing this, because he knew that this was not going to be an easy deal. This is not going to just be a real quick, easy situation. We're going to have to be a little bit rough here. But I want you to be strong and of a good courage. For the Lord, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32 here. And the first verse again, 2 Chronicles 32 and 1. After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw Sennacherib was come, that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were out the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself, he built up the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, another wall without, repaired Milo and the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and he spake comfortably unto them, to them, saying, be strong. Now then, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that's with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battle. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now this was a smart man. He started in when he saw what was happening. We're going to defeat them, and we'll start by taking away the water. You can't live too awful long without any water. You're going to have to do something, because you're going to get mighty thirsty and things are going to start going in the reverse if you don't get some water after a while. So he was doing a good job. And then he said he strengthened himself, built up the wall that is broken. He was going to deal where he would have complete, strong places, people, and situations to deal with this. And he repaired Milo, set captains of war, got everything in order. And then he said, be strong, courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed of the king of Syria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us. Be more with us than with him. Listen, God alone is more than everything else. Now, we can work together as a body, and we need to do that. But if you happen to get into a position where you're all by yourself, remember who's backing you up. Remember, the great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is right there to help you out, to back you. Maybe whisper in your ear, be courageous. Don't back up here. Just go straight ahead, child. Don't let down in any way. Just stand flat-footed. And we can do that by the help of the Lord. For with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us to fight our battle. And the people rested themselves upon the word, Lord, upon the words of Hezekiah the king. All right, let's go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and 6. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. Now then again, you and I need to encourage one another. You can do that in different ways. One thing you can do is show up on Wednesday night with a good fiery testimony and stand up and let them know what God has done for you. We can't see it maybe, but if you tell us about it, that's going to be an encouragement that the Lord is helping this one and this one. My, he's working all through the congregation all the time. Hallelujah. We're not going anywhere. We're standing. We get into battle as a congregation, and we need to help one another. Call somebody up. There was a pastor and his wife that lived in a subdivision about two streets up. I guess they were close to the main street, and then a couple of streets back was another couple, and I guess their children, and they went to the same congregation. Well, the pastor's wife, she had a burden to go see this wife. So she went over there. And, well, she called her first and said, are you going to be home? Yeah. And so she went over there. They sat down, they started visiting. And I don't know just what all went on, but anyway, after a while, they had a word of prayer. And the pastor's wife went back home. And then that sister called her later in the afternoon and said, you don't know what it meant for you to show up. Sometimes just showing up means something, folks. Showing up in meeting means something. Showing up in somebody's house means something. Well, I'm not anything, Brother Carl. That's not what matters. You're a saint, and the Lord wants you to show up. Listen, let's not skip meeting. Let's show up. Let's be there. Let them know I'm still encouraged. Let them know I've got a good testimony. Let them know that I'm moving on for God. I'm not quitting. I'm not backing up. I'm not going down. You want to set the camp on fire? Just let them know it. Praise God, I'm right here. He helped you. He helped me. You was a blessing to me this morning, pastor's wife. You was a blessing. You say, well, I'm not a pastor's wife. You don't have to be. You're a saint. Again, this gets down to everybody. This is not just the leaders of the congregations or the pastors or the deacons or whatever. This is everybody, praise God. Everybody needs to see us leaders, so to speak, do what we need to do. One person come to me one time, and I'd been going through a battle for quite a while. It was probably the toughest battle I ever went through in my whole experience. And it was the one where I told the story that I couldn't forgive a lot of people because of what they'd done to me. And I'm not going to get into that part of it. But anyway, somebody had been watching me. Probably somebody's too, I guess. And so they watched me and they saw that I was coming through and I had the victory. They told an older person, they said, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. That don't seem like very much, but that's powerful, folks. If you can do it, we can do it. And I want to drive that home this morning because sometimes the devil said, you can't make it. Well, look at them over there. They're not doing it. They're probably doing more than what you realize they're doing. So consequently, just tell the devil, just go on out the door and shut your mouth. Get on out of here and down the road, as I like to say. I don't want you sticking around doing, devil, what you like to do. That's pretty good in some ways, but the bottom line, we're all standing flat-footed right here. I'm encouraged. I'm living for the Lord. I'm going on. That means something, folks. That means something. All right, let's go to 1 Chronicles 22 and 6. 1 Chronicles 22. First Chronicles 22 and 6. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my heart to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me and saying, 'Thou hast shed blood abundantly, hast made great wars, and thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I'll give him rest from all of his enemies about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I'll give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son. I'll be his father. I'll establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. Prosper thou, build the house of the Lord, thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom, understanding, give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper. If thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel, be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto." So, you're going to do some building, Solomon. You're going to do some building. I can't do it, but the Lord wants you to do it. Now then, this was a big project. This wasn't something to, this wasn't something to wink at, so to speak. This is something to say, ooh. But he says here, he said, thou shalt prosper if thou heedest to fulfill the statute and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. So you're going to build this. The Lord's been building the church of God, so to speak, for many, many years. And he has used different ones to help in that building. And there's young ones among us that's beginning to start into ministry, and I'm rejoicing. But there may be more. I started at 22. And the Lord wants us to do, by his leadings, everything that he's interested in us doing. But it's going to take courage to do that.
Yes.
You may look at this up here and you say, "My, them ministers get up there. Must be just as easy as it can be." Why don't you try it sometime? The devil gets right up here in the pulpit too when he can. And he works all he can do to try to hurt us and to stop us and to shut us up and so forth. But the bottom line is the Lord's the one that called you, and he'll back you again and bless you. And it's not easy. It may look easy sometimes when preachers are wound up and going 100 mile an hour, so to speak, and they're really laying it out. Oh, that looks pretty good. That looks so easy. Yeah, you ought to watch us after we get out of the pulpit and deal with the devil a while. And it's not as easy as it looks. It takes courage. I've said all that to say this. It takes courage to get saved. It takes courage from there then to go on and do everything you need to do. And then if the Lord starts dealing with you to do something in the work of the Lord, it takes courage to move and do that.
Yeah.
It's not easy. A trustee, whatever it might be, maybe just helping in the kitchen, maybe just helping do this. It takes some courage to get her done. And then as you start on those general tasks, Then the Lord a lot of times comes along. If I remember right, Brother Sammons had the gift of helps before he had the gift of preaching. And I've heard him say that every preacher that come to town, I guess up there in Dayton area, he said, I was looking at his tires. And if he needed any tires, the old general was saying, hey, go to so-and-so and I'll buy you a set or two tires or whatever it might be. He said that was his first, I believe it was the first gift, so to speak. But then the Lord come along and just kind of added to it. He wants to do that with all of us. But again, it takes courage. Because the devil don't want you doing nothing in the gospel work. I want to encourage everybody in here to say, Lord, here am I, Lord, use me. What do you want me to do, Lord? And stand up with courage and say, I'm going to do it. Let the pastor know, whatever it might be, let him know, I'm here to help. I believe the Lord wants me to do this or the Lord wants me to do that. Would that be okay? Or the deacons, whoever you need to talk to in bringing forth something that the Lord's leading you to do, well, do it. Let them know it. And the Lord will bless you. That's what we need. We need young people moving right on up and doing exactly what the Lord would have them to do. All right, the 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles in the 19th verse. It said here, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand by his hand, upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and be of good courage to do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord, even my God, will be with thee. He'll not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou finish all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now he said, For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. Don't be dismayed. Don't fear. Don't get scared. The Lord's going to be with you. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel. Let's get in some actual happenings here. 2 Samuel 12, 1. Well, no, this is not the one I thought it was. Said, the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and came to him and said unto him, there were two men in the one city, the one rich and the other poor. Rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. The poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he bought, nourished up, grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, drank of his own cup, lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, he said, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he did no pity. He had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Then saith the Lord, behold, I raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. Now, you think about it. Would this be something that could be scary? Now, I'd be wrong, but Nathan was a man of God, but I would say it took a little courage to go do this. He wasn't just talking to anybody. He was talking to the king. And the Lord had inspired him or led him. He had showed him what had taken place. He knew everything. I mean, David couldn't wiggle any way out in one shape, form, or fashion. He had to admit, I've done wrong. And he begged for mercy. But thou art the man. I like that. You're the man, David. You've been a bad fella. You didn't do what you ought to have done. You had all this. Listen, folks, when the Lord gives us everything we need, let's not try to get any bigger, so to speak. I mean, you know, if you can do it right, all right. But he done it wrongly. He lusted after one woman and ended up killing a man to get her and cover everything up that was going on. But you just imagine. Remember Nathan said, Lord, you want me to do this? Yeah, I want you to do this. You sure? Yeah. But he done it, didn't he? And the Lord backed him up, and he let him know that everything would be fine, and it was. All right, now let's get over here to one that I like to talk about. 1 Samuel 17:1. We're going to deal with Goliath. David and Goliath. You ever heard that story? And Philistine gathered, 17:1 of 1 Samuel, Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together with Shechem, which along with Judah and pitched between Shechem and Azekah and Ephes Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elon and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. There's a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like the weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood, and he cried unto the armies of Israel, said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And you're all the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The Philistine said, I defy. Now this is what I do not like this statement. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the three eldest sons, now David was the son of the Ephraite, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. The names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and to him Aminadab, and the third Shammon. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. And David went, returned from Saul to feed the father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an epic of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. Well, anyway, he went. And he happened to see this big old man. Do you know how tall this man was? He was about 10 foot tall. And he wasn't just walking around in ordinary clothes, but he had the clothes of a warman on. And he thought he was somebody. I believe one scripture on in here said he was a man of war from his youth, I think it said. So he was not just anybody. He knew who he was. He knew what he thought he could do. And he's challenging Israel over and over, belittling them. David happened to hear this man, and he listened to him. He decided, I'm going to take care of this. Listen, folks, today, the devil can appear 10 foot tall, so to speak. But the Lord's got somebody, you,
yes,
to work. And so David, he listened. He said, David spake unto the man, to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the 27th verse after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Now, David had already won some victories, and you have too. This is the thing about it. The Lord gives us victories as we start out. They may be small per se, but he gives us a victory here, and he gives us a victory over there, and he gives us a victory there. You can look back on these victories, and that can encourage you. So, here David, he had done, I believe, killed a lion, and he done this, and he done that. And then he goes over, and Saul said unto David in 33rd verse, but said, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail before because of him, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, thou art not able. Now here he runs smack into somebody and said, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion, a bear, and a lamb, and out of the flock, and so forth. And I went out after him, smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I just caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied. Now that's the thing about it. What angered David the most was he's defying God's people. The devil's going to defy all he can. But you and I need to stand up against him and say, hey, it's time. That you're going to shut your mouth, so to speak, and I'm going to prove it. Now then, David was a young man. He wasn't a 35-year-old warrior. He was a young man. But he knew who he had contact with. He knew what he had done. He used all that experience, and he went after him. And, why, the Philistine, you know, who's this little ruddy boy over here? But David took and got him 5 smooth stones and got it, got set. He started moving toward that Philistine that had all this garment on and everything. But the Lord knows exactly where to put the stone. He knows exactly where to hit the spot. He knows exactly how to do it. He can do anything with absolute precise any way he needs to do it. And so David, he just got back and he got his stone in his deal and he rigged that thing and turned it loose. And that big old Philistine got hit right where it counted, right in the head. And he went down. And then what happened? Well, David didn't have no spear. He didn't have no sword. He didn't have anything but 5 smooth stones. But he got the man's sword. What was it? He cut his head off, didn't he? Well, listen, folks, we need to cut the head of the devil off as much as we can, so to speak. We need to let him know, I'm here for the battle. I'm staying right where I'm at. I'm not going anywhere. Oh, today, he defied the armies of Israel then, and he'll try to define against us now, cry against us, stand up against us, and so forth. But it took courage for David to do what he done. Amen?
Yes, it did.
It took courage for him to do what he done. And he was young. That's what I want to encourage you young folks. You can do it.
Yes.
You don't have to be 72. You can do it. You don't have to be 52 or 62 or 42 or 32. You can do it at 17 and 18 and 16 and 15 and 14. I started when I was 18. I had a good pastor. Him and his wife and family loved me, and they took care of me. They worked with me. And I gradually, as I grew and I grew. And you can do it too.
Yes.
You can do it too.
Amen.
You can grow. You can stand strong. You can let them know I'm going through.
Yes.
I'm not going to quit. I'm not going down.
Right.
Have real strong courage.
Amen.
In the Lord. And the Lord will bless that beyond what you can ask or think.
Amen.
All right, my last scripture will be in Psalms 31. Courage. How's our courage this morning? You discouraged? Now the main thing to do when you're if you get discouraged is not stay home and continue to be discouraged, but like I said, go to church.
Amen.
Go to church and be in meeting. And be there and listen to the testimonies. Listen to the praises. Listen to the songs. Listen to the message, whatever it might be, whatever day it is. And it can get you some encouragement.
Yes.
And it might not be. One brother in Guthrie, many, many years ago, I never knew this brother. Some of you here might have. But Audie Davis, he was very sick one time, very sick. And he had called for the preachers to come pray for him, and he wasn't getting any better. And he had given and done and helped in the work of the Lord there at Guthrie. Matter of fact, the old chapel, that one part they built on, if I'm not mistaken, if I got it right in my mind, he's the one that donated a pretty good sum of money to get that built. And here he is on, looked like his deathbed. A little sweet saintly lady called his wife, who I happened to be a pastor of years later, and she was a jewel with her husband too. And she said, "Can I come over and visit you?" Said, "I got a burden, Brother Audney." "Yeah, come on. Come on." And she went over there, and I think she sang a little bit for him, and talked to him a little bit. Said, "Brother Audney, would it be all right for me to anoint you and pray for you?" Now, this wasn't a preacher that I know of. It was just a saint. And she anointed him, and she prayed for him, and God healed him. Brother D.S. Warner one time, he was in a situation, well, there was a sister in the congregation that was in a situation, and he had been out in the gospel work, and he'd come back home, and she had made an agreement or made an appointment with the wife to come at a certain time, and she got there, and she tried to explain her situation to Brother Warner, and he's going like this. He couldn't stay away. He was so tired. And it's a little different when you're riding on horses and trains back there versus cars that can do 70, 75, 80 miles an hour down the interstate. And so the little sister, she said, "Well, I'll come back some other time." Well, I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, let's do that." So she walks out the gate and she heads down the street. And there's another sister that lives not too far down from Brother Warner. She said, "Come here, sister, come here, come in and be with me a little bit." And so she went in there, and they got to talking. And she got that sister to open up what her problem was. And the Lord said, "I've got the answer." Said, "The Lord had visited me and told me what to tell you." And she started opening up to that sister, and that sister got a hold of it. And it wasn't the great D.S. Warner that got her the help. It was God and a little sister in the congregation that done what needed to be done. Folks, we can do it. We can encourage one another. Whatever it be, is all we got to do is live close to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do?
Amen.
I want you to go talk to so-and-so, or I want you to call so-and-so. These little things, you can do a lot of things with them anymore. And you can call and text and do what you wasn't able to do 50 years ago. All right, 31:24 of Psalms. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now then, be of good courage. Now, like I said, if you're of good courage, it's easier to work with you. It's easier for you to be boasted, encouraged, lifted up, however you want to say it. And a message give you a boost or whatever. It said, he shall be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So I hope everybody in here is of good courage. And if you're not, I hope you get some good courage in this meeting. And that you're ready to say, I'm going on. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. Pray for me.